Come, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you've been here before, you've probably heard those words before. Come, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. And every time I hear those words in our invitation to communion each week, I typically put myself in the second half of that phrase, as one who seems like I should need to have more faith. But what does that mean, to have enough faith or not enough faith or more faith, or to ask God that God would increase our faith? What does that mean? The apostles wanted to have more faith. That was their plea to Jesus. Lord, increase our faith. Jesus' response to them, I think, is very interesting. This story about this mustard seed and the mulberry bush that's supposed to jump into the sea of its own will at your request of faith. What lies behind that request from the disciples, from the apostles they're called here? What's the story behind why they asked that question? They've been following Jesus for about over 2 years at this point. Shows a little bit of faith to do that. Yet still, they're asking that the Lord would increase their faith in the midst of this longer story and longer journey. Well, I'm not going to answer that specific question because I'm not sure I have enough information about their story to be able to tell you what brought them to ask that question. But I do want us today to think about what does it mean to have enough faith or to not have enough faith, or what does it mean for us to ask the Lord that the Lord will increase our faith? The only way you can really get at that is through stories. That's how you learn about faith. We heard in the Timothy that faith came to Timothy from his grandmother and from his mother, and those stories and those experiences and that living of faith is what brought faith to life in Timothy. That's how it works. It works through the stories of those around us. So I just want to mention that the men's retreat this year is coming up in about 3 weeks. We're going to be gathering, and the theme of our retreat is stories that matter. And what we're going to be doing at the men's retreat this year is having an opportunity to hear other men's stories, to share a little bit of our own story, and then to really put that in the context of God's story from beginning and end. Because that's how faith happens. Happens when you tell the stories and hear the stories and share the stories and find yourself somehow in God's story. So a bunch of you are coming. And I'm really glad if you haven't signed up yet, we can probably still squeeze you in. Come and join us. That's the advertisement for the day. Well, Luke 17 is a story too, but we don't know the whole thing. But we do know that Jesus says to these disciples, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can tell that mulberry bush to go jump in a lake and it'll do it. That's a revised standard version. But now, one little tidbit of Greek here. Greek is very interesting whenever you have an if-then kind of idea. In the Greek grammar, the Greek tells you the answer to the first part of the question. The grammar tells you that. Now, it doesn't do that in English. But in Greek, there's a way of saying, if you do this, then. That means, if you do this, or if you are this, and you are, it tells you that it's a positive response to that, then this will be true. It's also the case that you can say, if you have faith of a mustard seed and you don't, the grammar will tell you that as well in the Greek. Now, it doesn't help us much in English when we're reading it because our grammar doesn't tell us that. But in this particular phrase where it says, if you have faith like a mustard seed and you don't, because that's what the Greek says, that's what the Greek means at that point, then you can tell this bush to go jump in a lake and it'll do it. Or you can tell pigs to fly. Or you can do, you know. Jesus could pretty much say anything after that. It's not really specific to that mulberry bush, right? What Jesus is telling us, the disciples, is if you have faith, even like this much, and you don't, even after following me for 2 years. And then he goes on to talk about slaves, which is strange language for us in our day, but for them they had a context in which that made sense, I think. What it comes down to is just do it. If you're a servant, serve as you are asked to serve. That's my revised standard version of that part of the story. Well, the only way we can really talk about this is to tell some stories. So it's a little stories of faith here. That if there was a title for this sermon, it would be A Daughter, a Mother, and Three Sons. Okay? The first story is about a daughter. And the daughter I know best is my own. I wasn't with you last week to celebrate with the whole Ugandan story and Beatrice and the beautiful, beautiful portrait because we were with our daughter at college. It was family weekend, and she turned 20 2 weeks ago, so we went up to Fargo-Moorhead to celebrate her 20th birthday with her. Anyway, that led us, my wife and I, to doing a lot of reminiscing about what it was like when she wasn't 20. And I remembered, you know, her as a little toddler reaching up and grabbing my finger and walking with me and just trusting me to guide her. And I also remember one time in Northwest 23rd Street in Portland, Oregon, when she was also about that size, that I was carrying her. My wife and I were walking. I think it was brunch after church one Sunday. And I stepped off the curb, and I fell. I tripped holding this, you know, like one-year-old or whatever she was at the time. And I panicked, you know, because I'm going to fall on her. So I did this, you know, miraculous gymnastic twist, or I got lucky. And I somehow managed to, you know, as I was falling, turn and land sort of on my shoulder and back instead of landing on her. Now, she had her hand on my shoulder, so her fingers got scraped up, and she was bleeding and crying and clinging to me. But I think that's a little bit of an example of faith. Faith can be childlike and simple when you reach up to take the hand of one who will guide you, to just grab that finger. Or when you keep clinging to someone, even when they almost dropped you, and you're falling and you're bleeding, you still cling to that one that you have faith in. I think our faith in God is sort of like that. Faith can be childlike and simple. It's just trusting. So that's one story. Lord, increase our faith. A mother. The mother that I have in mind now is Mother Teresa. She was just canonized in the Catholic Church, and she is now Saint Teresa of Calcutta. And when I was young, she was still Mother Teresa and doing these wonderful, marvelous things that she was doing in Calcutta for those who were dying, for those who were sick, feeding the poor. This whole gathering of people who would come and help her. In fact, I had a friend in Portland, Oregon when I was living there, who was a nurse, and she went to Calcutta and spent a few months serving and working with Mother Teresa. This was a big deal. And Mother Teresa's faith inspired Mother Teresa's mercy, and serving inspired and still inspires the world. But what was fascinating was after she died, they published a volume of her letters that she had written to her spiritual director and to her superiors in the church. The book was called Come Be My Light, and it talks mostly about how she struggled with faith. In fact, the editor of the book said, "For the nearly last half century of her life, she felt no presence of God whatsoever, neither in her heart nor in the Eucharist." A half century of her life serving as she served, but not sensing God's presence. Even when she felt no faith, she was, as Pope described her in his homily canonizing her, a generous dispenser of divine mercy. Maybe saints aren't the people with the greatest faith. Maybe saints are the people who are following Jesus even when they don't feel faith. Lord, increase our faith. Well, that's a daughter and a mother. Three sons. Now, two of these stories come from Facebook yesterday. My preaching class, they said you need to preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Well, now it's Facebook. But these are stories from two of my friends, close friends actually, and they were back-to-back stories on my page. Most of you know what that means. The first story was about Jack. Jack is a fourth grader. He is the son of a friend of mine from the church I served before. She sings in the worship team. I was playing piano and helping lead worship in that team. So we got to be together and do music and stuff a lot of times. Anyway, her son had been ill. He had been in the hospital and was I think it was a breathing issue that was the problem, but doesn't matter. And they got a letter yesterday from the hospital. And this is what the letter said. Dear Jack, I hope you are feeling better. You profoundly affected me when I put your IV in. To distract you, I asked you, what was your favorite book? And you told me it was a Sparks Bible your church gave you recently. I asked you what your favorite story was, and you smiled and said, all of them. She continues, I haven't been to church in quite some time, but I want you to know, why do I do this? Anyway, I want you to know that the twinkle in your eye and the smile in your sweet face compelled me to go to your church across the street last Sunday. I felt warmly welcomed and thought of you. God bless your wife. Warmly, your nurse, Kathy. Faith can be contagious, and it can be spread in the twinkle of an eye and the smile on a sweet face. Lord, increase our faith. Second son is Kelly. Kelly is the son of the pastor with whom I did my internship when I was in Portland, Oregon, becoming a pastor. That was in the late 90s. He was my spiritual director for a few years. He's become a good friend. In fact, I have an appointment on my calendar to talk to him next Friday on the phone. And he and his wife, Michelle, wonderful, faithful people. In fact, he invited me to preach at his retirement service as a pastor after he'd been in this church for 40 years. Blair, that means you have about 29 more to go, which would be wonderful. So anyway, their post on Facebook said this. And they have an adopted son, by the way, named Kelly. Terry's wife posted, our son was beaten last night in a gay bashing in Seattle. Please keep him in your prayers. Sometimes faith is asking the people around you to have faith and leaning on them for their prayers. Lord, increase our faith. That brings us to the last son. His name was Jesus. He was beaten. He felt God forsaken as he died on the cross. And yet he had a contagious faith that spreads to us even today and draws us in. And he draws us into simple, childlike trust to reach out and take the finger of God for guidance, to cling to God even when we are falling and bloody and frightened. Following Jesus isn't about having the most faith or even constantly seeking more. Following Jesus is about trust and doubt and following anyway. Sometimes with a twinkle in our eyes and a smile on our sweet faces, and sometimes when we need to lean on others and ask for their prayers. Come, you who have much faith, And you who would like to have more, it is Jesus who invites us to meet him here. Amen.